have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hahn.
And I'm Ann Northrup. Who knows when I'm going to be here and when I'm not, but I'm back this week.
It's great to have you back. It was great to have Kathy Marino Thomas and Rob Shooter in for you. Of course, we thought you were just on vacation, but you had a little adventure before at the beginning of this week. So why don't you bring us up to date?
This is the world's worst year for me. I know people have all sorts of things, but this has been mine. And yes, I do want to thank Kathy and Rob, who did a fantastic job filling in. I'm glad they're just getting more and more in the groove. That may mean I don't have to be here at all, but that's another question. Yeah, this was 2 weeks of vacation as opposed to all my illnesses. But last week after I'd come back, I went for physical therapy because I have lower back and hip problems. And the guy giving me physical therapy was sort of coming in and out, and by the end put me on the elliptical machine, which I was not familiar with, and wandered off. And 3 minutes later, I felt like I was about to die, and my heart rate was 151. And I finished another couple of minutes, got off, and fainted.
And then they put you in a med bed.
If only. They put me on a stretcher and into an ambulance and off to NYU's emergency room because the Mount Sinai place I go to at Union Square doesn't have those facilities, and the ambulance is required to take you to the nearest emergency room. So that was NYU. And I spent 6 hours in the emergency room. They were afraid I might have had a stroke, maybe just because I'm old. But no, they ended up deciding I just had been, you know, too ambitious in my exercising and maybe a little dehydrated, who knows. But I had some kind of syncope, and someone said to me, "Oh, you fainted." I said, "Yes, I did." And but I walked out of there okay. And who knows what will happen next? Life is a great adventure this year.
Well, I hope we can get through this because a lot of it is very painful. Shall we go to the headlines?
By all means.
You watched, Secretary Hegseth going on a racist, sexist, anti-LGBTQ rant in front of all the U.S. generals.
And that's a mild description of what he did. Meanwhile, out Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is one of the leaders of the fight against Trump's war on U.S. cities.
And Trump was sued by 15 states for taking millions away from schools and sex ed programs that treat trans students with dignity. That's a crime now in America.
Well, I think we're slowly getting better and putting things together. But, then they shut down the government and do whatever they want. The viciously anti-LGBTQ school superintendent of Oklahoma has stepped down, yay, to head a group fighting teachers unions. Boo.
There was a win in federal court for transgender people in Arizona.
Wow. The scandal of the bigoted Amtrak cops arresting hundreds of men perceived to be gay in Penn Station restrooms has gotten the attention of elected officials.
And it's having some effect. Veteran lesbian activist Carla Jay is honored and has a message of encouragement to our community under siege.
The SAGE has a new leader for their work serving LGBTQ older people.
And there was an LGBTQ breakthrough on Polish TV.
And also on American TV, where Project Runway as its first transgender winner.
And I am going to review two plays, Art and Punch, on Broadway.
And the sequel of The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, will be made. And through a little movie magic, with the late Terrence Stamp.
Yeah, we didn't think it was going to go through since he died, but we'll tell you all about that. By the way, October is Bullying Prevention Month. We need a lot of that with all the bullying coming out of Washington. And it's also LGBTQ History Month. And October 11th is National Coming Out Day, if you have not gotten around to that yet.
Or maybe you have, but you have other people you haven't told so far.
Sure.
All right. Well, the spectacle at the top of the news, of course, was Trump and Hegseth demanding the presence of every top general, admiral, whatever, from around the globe to listen to them rant nonsense at them.
Trump giving a ridiculous campaign speech, totally embarrassing, went on for about 70 minutes, saying just standard stuff. Our cities are run by radical left Democrats. We're going to straighten them all out. That's the war from within.
The election was stolen from me.
It's insane. Of course, they all have to sit there in silence. He gets a little upset that nobody reacts in these situations with the generals because they're not supposed to. It was extremely.
No, they're not supposed to clap. They're not supposed to react at all. Some lower level troops have reacted when he's spoken to them in other settings. But these are the pros at the top of the food chain, and they just sat there stony faced.
And Hegseth was just vile. I mean, absolutely vile. No more fat generals. I mean, for God's sakes, total misogyny.
About fat presidents.
Vulgarity that he used. It kill, kill, kill. I mean, it's just no. Do what you want. Ask questions later, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're taking us way back.
Well, they are taking us way back. And meanwhile, they're cutting anti-terrorism funds for New York City because they just want to wipe us out off the face of the earth. And Trump today withheld $2 billion in, or maybe more billions for this.
$18 billion.
Thank you.
$18 billion for the tunnels that we need under the river for Amtrak and for the railroads.
And the extension of the Second Avenue subway.
Yes.
It's all just cruelty to New York City. How can we undermine the coming mayoralty of Zoran Mamdani?
Right. Who, by the way, on October 11th, which is National Coming Out Day, they're going to have a rally for him in at the AIDS Memorial. What time is that going to be? I have it down. It's going to be in our email.
Yeah, it's a gaze for Zoran, 1:30 p.m. at the AIDS Memorial on 7th Avenue and West 12th Street here in Manhattan.
Saturday, October 11th.
Here's the question I cannot get an answer to. I watch a lot of the coverage of Trump and Hegseth and their speeches and the horror shows they are, and ex-military leaders come on and talk about how they've violated every norm, and people talk about how everybody in the military hates them, or, 90%. And yet they talk about how these good military people will follow legal orders. And I want to know how and when the military is going to rise up against Trump and Hegseth.
Well, the state attorneys general in Oregon and other places, they're all in court saying, you can't bring in military and do this, this, this. You say you want to protect your ICE agents. You can do it in a limited way, but you can't just send troops in here to police us. So that is all being tested in court. And in fact, it's all these invasions with these troops is totally outrageous and a setup for stopping the 2028 elections, maybe the 2026 elections. So one of the people leading the charge against it is Oregon Governor Tina Kotek, an out lesbian, and she had a message for Trump.
Hello, Oregon. Governor Kotek here. Contrary to President Trump's latest social media post, Portland is not war ravaged. There's no insurrection. There's no threat to national security, and there's no need for military troops. Military service members should be dedicated to real emergencies. And that's exactly what I said to the president when I asked him to stand down from sending federal troops into our city. But just in case that phone call wasn't enough, I thought I would take to the streets myself right here in downtown Portland. I'm standing just blocks away from the waterfront, overlooking the beautiful Willamette River, Portland City Hall, the federal courthouse, and dozens of shops and restaurants here in the central city. We do have challenges here in Portland, in Oregon, and across the country. The cost of living is too high. We need to build more housing that people can afford. And we need to always work on having the best schools possible. So let's keep the focus on the real problems, not the made-up ones.
And it was nice to see her walking hand-in-hand with her wife, or the first lady, as they say, of Oregon, Amy Wilson Kotek. By the way, 42% of Americans support the deployment of the National Guard, and 58% oppose it, and 64% of independents oppose this move.
But they haven't been stopped. They are doing what they want to do. They are maneuvering the courts to not stop them. They don't care what people think. They are just moving ahead, and they are going to occupy the country and screw up the midterm elections so that they can maintain control of Congress, which is all they need. And I'm very, very cynical about the willingness of the country to do what it has to do to stop these guys.
I agree. I need to get out of here.
Okay.
We do think about it, but it's you know, anyway, well, look, yes, they do want to institute martial law. I mean, you know, the stuff that's being spouted by Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance about all this in the wake of the Kash Patel at the FBI, in the wake of the Charlie Kirk killing, they're all saying it's all due to left-wing violence. And, of course, all these mass shootings lately have been done by right-wing Marines who are Trump supporters.
And who are mentally challenged by their service in the service, and there they are with their guns. But they, you know, MSNBC keeps putting up charts of, you know, this murderous violence has been committed by right-wing groups, not left-wing, and none of this seems to have any impact on stopping them.
Well,
it feels like 90% of the public could be against them, but would still not be able to get themselves together to stop them.
Oh, at some point, I mean, we are still allowed to criticize, although they'll probably want to shut us down for DEI.
What did they blame on DEI?
New York's building the tunnel.
Yes, they have to stop the building of the tunnel and the
unconstitutional, unconstitutional DEI.
We're going to investigate your process for building these things because clearly you have DEI rules in your contracting.
Are you using women in these construction things? Hicks's big thing was we're just going to have male standards.
That's a whole longer conversation.
It is. Well, we got one good ruling from a federal judge in Massachusetts who was a Reagan appointee, saying you can't have agents wearing masks, these ICE agents wearing masks. He said, "Can you imagine a masked Marine? It is a matter of honor, and honor still matters. To us, masks are associated with cowardly desperados and the despised Ku Klux Klan. In all our history, we have never tolerated an armed, masked secret police carrying on in this fashion. ICE brings indelible obloquy to this administration and everyone who works for it." A Reagan judge.
Well, I want to see how much he is doxxed by all the MAGA people, that judge. And B, I want to know if ICE is going to pay any attention to that ruling. Because I'm not aware of any of these goons stopping wearing their masks.
a little more on Hegseth. He declared war on woke garbage. We are done with that. And he used the S word in front of everybody. I mean, this is just vile.
He also, here's my biggest complaint against, well, maybe not my biggest, but Hegseth has announced that he is going to continue to have medals awarded to the Army members who massacred peaceful, innocent Native Americans at Wounded Knee.
Yep. They were under review.
Yeah. And he says, forget that. They're keeping their medals. We're fine with massacring Native Americans.
No more identity months, DEI offices, or dudes in dresses, he told the audience. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions. No more debris. Well, I mean, but yet they, of course, you know, he made all this thing about you can't be a fat general. Well, what about the commander in chief? I mean, look, I'm an overweight person, but, you know, Trump is the fattest president since William Howard Taft, for God's sakes.
Yes. Yeah. And he's also talking, Trump, about the terrorist Democratic funders of left-wing violence. I.e. George Soros and who knows. They just make all this stuff up.
All right. You want to do something about it? Turn out for the October 18th No Kings demonstrations across the nation. We'll put the link in our email, but just Google 50501 October 18th demonstrations. A big map comes up with thousands of cities across the country. These will probably be bigger this time because we're getting even more nervous to stand up to them. In New York, by the way, they changed the opening to on October 18th to Father Duffy Square, near Times Square, 47th Street, and we're going to march to 14th Street and 7th Avenue starting at 11 a.m. with no rally. It's just marching. It's all about just showing up and showing people that we're there. You come with a sign and say whatever you want to say, but we have to do this and more.
We have to achieve critical mass in these demonstrations. And that's a pretty easy march straight south of a mile and a half. Maybe we'll decide to extend it.
And by the way, bring back a picture of Stephen Miller, Patel, and Bondi, because they're leading a crackdown on progressive tax-exempt organizations. This is their new thing after Charlie Kirk. They want to, so they've, you know, defunded anybody in government who has anything to do with anything progressive. They want to go after progressive organizations and wipe out the private sector as well, and saying that they're all aiding terrorism.
It's a good thing we fly a little under the radar.
But, you know, Alex Soros, the son of George Soros, who runs the Open Society Foundation, which has $23 billion to distribute, said, he would back down over my dead body. And the Ford Foundation, which is also being targeted, says we're following our standard due diligence practices across our grant making. Well, they're a little bit more timid, but, you know, the foundation's board has been concerned about recent doxing attempts against its directors.
Well, what all this reveals is that the executive branch does have too much power.
Yes.
And that's been a matter of debate for some decades. And this has really revealed the potential power of the executive branch.
And then there's Lindsay Halligan, Trump's enforcer versus Comey, who was assigned to scrub. But here's how she came to the attention of Trump. She was assigned to scrub improper ideology from Smithsonian properties.
And yes.
So she's the one who brought this ridiculous charge against, look, I'm not a James Comey fan in many ways, but I mean, this ridiculous charge against him, and which I think everybody's predicting that she doesn't know what she's doing, and everybody's predicting it'll be thrown out before it even gets started.
Yeah, and they'll lose a lot like that. But meanwhile, they've gummed up the works. They've spread the evil poison of their ideology. They have, just ruined everyone's reputation, and they have expanded their power, even if they lose.
Your enemies list doesn't ruin your reputation, but it costs you a lot of money to fight these things in court.
And time.
Yes. And, of course, your family then gets targeted, and you're not safe.
And no one wants to hire you because they don't want to receive the same treatment, so right. You end up isolated and powerless.
Right. Speaking of Smithsonian, though, it was inspiring to see Smithsonian Magazine describe gay civil rights pioneer Frank Kameny's pair of handwritten notebooks held in the National Archives at the National Museum of American History. We have a picture there of Frank and his notebooks as a national treasure. They did a whole article on it. They also did a video about Frank Kameny, one of the very early gay rights leaders in the United States. He's the guy who coined the term gay is good. So we're going to link to that in our email. So if you want to be on our email list, go to gayusatv.org. If you're feeling generous, we also welcome you to donate to Gay USA by on the link that's there.
In honor of LGBTQ History Month.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. We really appreciate it. It keeps us going.
We do. And I'm shocked that the Smithsonian still has some progressive pro-LGBTQ materials available.
And then there's the developments in the Epstein files. Some of the stuff that was released showed that billionaire Peter Thiel, an out homosexual now, who financially supported J.D. Vance's Senate campaign, and Trump ally Steve Bannon had scheduled meetings with Epstein. And they showed that Elon Musk had a pending trip to Epstein's private island. So Trump responded by saying, "We're going to release the files on Amelia Earhart, the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. She was lost in a flight around the world."
My God. Well, I have to tell you, though, Peter Thiel's another of his projects. Have you heard of this? Peter Thiel and Don Trump Jr. are running something called the Enhanced Games next May in Las Vegas. And this is a competition where the competitors are encouraged to take as many performance-enhancing drugs as possible.
Men and women.
It's equality.
And Elon Musk, and he has the money to do it, is starting an alternative to Wikipedia.
Well, hold on. I'm not finished with this. This is being described as a eugenics experiment. And they're very in favor of this. And all these people taking all these steroids and all these hormones and everything else. But, of course, not if you're trans. Then you're not allowed to take any kind of drugs. May 26th, Las Vegas. Mark your calendars.
Let's talk about the schools. Trump is holding back grants from New York City, Chicago, Fairfax schools over bathroom policies, over policies that say, you know, you can use the restroom associated with your gender identity. And they also are going after the schools like in Chicago for providing remedial academic resources to Black students, which they call, the Trump people call, racial discrimination. So they're talking about millions of dollars. But then, you know, here in New York, Mayor Eric Adams, we've told you about this. He keeps raising the issue of we don't want males in girls' rooms. And this is all anti-trans stuff.
He's out.
Well, maybe. I mean, he said he's not running anymore. So there was a big No Hate in New York City Schools rally organized by the New Pride Agenda, PFLAG, Transformative Schools, and the Education Consortium Council. And one of the lead speakers was a veteran trans activist, Melissa Sklars, talking about her relationship with Mayor Adams.
I met Eric Adams when he was a fighting, leading progressive voice in the state Senate in 2011 after he voted for marriage equality. He was one of our early supporters of trans civil rights in New York. I got to know him better when he was Brooklyn Borough President with Breaking Bed Building Bonds Program, making sure trans people were always included in all of his work, making sure that the disability community and women's rights He was a great liberal champion for all of our communities. And who is this Eric Adams today? He is a stranger. A man that I've known for 15 years has already decided that in a school system racked with guns and gun violence and school safety aids, the problem is trans girls in the bathroom. He is wrong. He is misguided. He does not know what he's talking about. Now, Donald Trump doesn't know the difference between transgender and a transmission. But he has someone that told him that this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And what he's going to do is what Donald Trump always does, which is divide us. He will work to divide us all so that only he has power. I am looking forward to having a new mayor in January.
They're here. And, you know, I talked to Tony Simone, who's our assembly member, and, you know, I gave a nice talk about how much he supports this. And I said, is the legislature going to stand by these trans students with funding? And he said, well, the people at this rally are. I said, Tony, you need everybody. He says, we are going to be so besieged with cuts to health care, to everything, transportation now, everything, that it's going to be tough. This was a great rally. And they did have a young trans man student named Jaden from Make the Road who spoke about his personal experience.
I've spent my life to be seen, respected, and simply exist. I have cried myself to sleep without.
Got it. Come on, you better tell them.
Feeling like I didn't belong. All I want is to live without fear, to use the bathroom that matches my gender identity without judgment or shame. That is the bare minimum. We need the city to stand up and protect us.
Yes.
We are not pawns. We are not pawns for political gain. We are strong, vibrant, and enduring. Our trans community is standing together. Our existence cannot be erased and never will.
These young people are so brave and resilient, but of course they are under siege.
But it does, it just breaks your heart to think, here are these wonderful kids and older, and the right wing refuses to see them as human beings, just absolutely rejects any possibility of humanizing them.
And then we had a nice speech from the second highest ranking official in New York, our public advocate, Jumaane Williams. Let me just say before you go to the tape. Now, Jumaane, you know, he's a terrific progressive official, but he acknowledges that he's had a journey on these issues.
Ooh, shame.
Almost a decade ago, I was actually the housing chair when the bathroom bill and some other bills came before the city council. I got to say, in almost a decade, I haven't had one parent, one teacher, one student, one staff person, one New Yorker ask me about bathrooms in our school system.
That's right.
I have heard people talking about the increase of suicide and suicide attempts amongst trans youth. I haven't heard the mayor or the president talk about that. And I always try to be honest, so my message is not necessarily for the trans community who knows who they are. We have to be here and stand up for them. My message is for those like me who are black men, who are men of faith, who are from the Caribbean. I always try to be honest about my own journey so that I can ask people to join the journey with me. As a person of faith, I honestly don't know all the answers, but I do know that you should move in love. And I can't understand the people who say they are part of the faith that I am, not moving in love. And so I want folks to ask questions, but you have to ask it in love. And you have to be ready to receive the answer, which is we have to make sure that our young people are protected, and that includes our trans youth.
You know, Mayor Eric Adams, the corrupt mayor, wouldn't resign. One of the reasons he said it because Jumaane would become the mayor for 6 weeks, and this was such a progressive, he wanted to stop him. Now, can we talk nationally? Now there are 15 states. It's not just schools. There are 15 states suing the Trump administration that are trying to strip gender ideology from sex education programs. Now, you can't do sex education without talking about gender identity and all these things and sexual orientation, et cetera.
You dreamer, you, Andy.
Well, you know.
You can do it. Didn't you go to Catholic school?
I did. Oh, my God. My one experience with sex education in Catholic school, the nurse comes in. And homosexuals, they're great ones for disease. This is what she said in 1968. Oh, my God.
I remember no sex education classes. But, you know, they can do whatever they want, and it doesn't have to make sense.
Okay. All right. So
Texas Tech University in Texas, obviously, the president of the school has told the faculty that they have to follow Trump and Greg Abbott, the governor's rules about trans issues, and that they are not to discuss sex and gender in any classes at the university.
All right. By the way, the FBI is also firing agents who were photographed kneeling during the George Floyd protests in 2020.
And who were doing that to calm the situation and prevent violence.
We don't want to calm it. We want to inflame it. But the White House has withdrawn the nomination of E.J. Antoni, this completely right-wing, anti-LGBTQ conservative economist, to serve as the leader of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I guess he turned out to be a bridge too far.
Well, here's what Rick Grinnell is up to at the Kennedy Center. He and the Log Cabin, before a performance by a young Black gay musician, Yasmin Williams, told the Trumpsters in attendance to use the open bar and then heckle the performer, which they did.
These are the stormtroopers.
Yep.
And I use the words advisedly. This is exactly what Hitler did to disrupt things and go after Jews and all this kind of stuff. But we got some good. Well, I don't know if this is good news or not. It's good news that Ryan Walters, the right-wing Oklahoma school superintendent who's so anti-LGBTQ, is stepping down as the school superintendent. But he's taking a job in a group that is, you know, the Teacher Freedom Alliance, which is to limit the influence of teachers' unions. He fearlessly fights the woke liberal union mob.
No, and he's a Christian nationalist, self-avowed, who wants Turning Point chapters in every school.
Oh, Oklahoma, they're looking at a bill to put up a statue of Charlie Kirk at every state university. It goes on and on. But in the culture war fights, Sinclair and Nexstar have ended their Jimmy Kimmel boycotts.
Well, it's interesting because it means they're now more afraid of the public than they and Disney than they are of Trump.
No. Bob Iger said, if you don't put Jimmy Kimmel back, you're going to lose Monday Night Football.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. They're more afraid of the public and Disney than they are of Trump and the FCC. But there's also, what else did I have on that? Something. I'll get to it eventually.
Okay. There's Rob Shooter reports that Disney is looking at streaming Jimmy Kimmel in the future on Hulu? Yeah, Disney Plus or Hulu. So then they could not have to worry at all about the FCC.
Right, because the FCC does not monitor the streaming channels.
Not yet.
Not yet is right. Our lesbian Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin and the sometimes terrific Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, sometimes, have put together a bill that would restore the 988 hotline that the Trump administration wiped out. And make it permanent. This is the hotline specifically targeted for trans kids who need to talk to someone.
Well, in New York City and in other places, they're looking to restore the funding on the local level and to train the people who answer the phone in their states to deal with these LGBTQ aspects. Riley Gaines, the famous second-rate perf, ex-college swimmer, a federal judge has thrown out the majority of her claims in a class action suit against trans athletes. She sued NCAA as well as Georgia Tech and the University System of Georgia, saying that competing against trans girls is not fair and that changing in the same locker room, it makes them uncomfortable. So the judge threw most of that out, saying that the NCAA is not a state actor. But the judge did allow the suit's Title IX claims to proceed, saying it's possible that the NCAA's research partnership with the Department of Defense, which we still call it, requires the organization to adhere to federal statutes.
And let's remember that Riley Gaines got angry about Leah Thomas because they tied for fifth place in a swimming race. It's not like Leah won and Riley was eighth. They tied for fifth place.
You know, in the beginning of Riley Gaines' complaints, it was just, oh, it's just about the swimming. Now she says, I am totally dedicated to wiping out trans rights across the world. Really?
Because it's making me a lot of money and making me
famous.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. You know. All right.
Probably not happy he's famous is a state representative in Arizona, John Gillette, who wants to execute Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal for calling for nonviolent resistance to Trump. She called for nonviolent resistance to Trump, and he thinks she should be executed.
Well, I mean, you know, again, under the Third Reich, I mean, you certainly weren't allowed to criticize the leader, and that is where they would like to get. Staying in Arizona, a federal district court in Tucson struck down the outdated requirement that transgender people must have surgery to change the gender marker on their birth certificates.
Very nice.
So that's a win. But let's talk about Supreme Court. We just heard this, you know, today that the Supreme Court is going to allow Lisa Cook to remain on the Federal Reserve for now until they hear the case in January. And that's unusual in the way they do things. Usually they say, no, keep her off until we hear the case next year. But in the case of the Federal Reserve, I have to think they're worried about their retirement funds and their stock holdings because the way Trump is upsetting the markets by going after the Fed is not good. And by the way, on October 7th, the Supreme Court's going to hear oral arguments about conversion therapy. That'll be based on a Colorado case.
All right. Well, we're down to 20 minutes, so I think we have
time. Well, I mean, I can link to this in a story. There's more. Lots of public officials in New York have told the Amtrak police what you're doing at Penn Station. We've never heard of anything like 200 gay men getting arrested in the restrooms. It's unprecedented, really unprecedented. And one of the guys was arrested, thrown up against the wall, denied things. And the agent from the Amtrak police, who are federal, said, yeah, we got three more fag pervs. And when the guy asked for a cup of water, he says, you want a steak too? I mean, these are anti-gay bigots. And this is what's happened in this country. These guys are attracted to these jobs. They're under no restraints under Trump. Okay.
And there's a significant part of the population that is going along with Trump.
Yes.
All right. The Williams Institute reports that same-sex couples in the U.S. are most concentrated in the District of Columbia and the state of Delaware. The least concentration are in North and South Dakota, and about half the couples they identified are married at this point.
On Long Island, an appeals court judge ruled that banning trans women from competing in women's sports at county facilities was a violation, and that case is proceeding. In Wisconsin, there's a Republican, a Republican quit the governor's race. He was a prominent businessman and a Trump supporter. who was running. But then they found out that he followed numerous sexually explicit accounts online, including a non-binary pornography performer. He got all upset about this and
said, "Where's my freedom?" In South Carolina, State Representative R.J. May, Republican, very anti-LGBT, has pled guilty to possessing and distributing child sex abuse material. He was named Legislator of the Year in 2023, just 2 years ago, by Moms for Liberty.
Well, and out lesbian Toni Atkins, who was a longtime state legislator in California. She was the Speaker of the Assembly, President Pro Tem of the Senate, but she was term limited out. She was running for governor, and now she's not because she wasn't doing anything in the polls.
All right. Congratulations to our friend Carla Jay, who was honored by the Outwards organization for a lifetime of terrific activism and writing and teaching. I had coffee with her this last weekend. She's in great shape and happy, and very happy to see her getting a little recognition. We're going to link to her speech at the event in our show note.
Yes. But I just want to read one sentence. She said, "We in the LGBTQ communities were not meant to survive biblical stoning or the drowning of witches, the burning of deviant men, the shunning by religions. We were not meant to get out of concentration camps. But here we are, more of us than ever, stronger than ever." And we'll link to the rest.
Thanks, Carla. Sage has a new CEO replacing Michael Adams, who's been there forever. This is Lynn Faria, who has been the executive vice president at Sage for 10 years. She used to be at the Empire State Pride Agenda, but it sounds like she is ready to take off running as the new head of Sage.
And in our email, we will link to an introductory video about her. An historical footnote, you might have read that Sarah Jane Moore died this week, made famous by Stephen Sondheim in the musical Assassins, because she shot at Gerald Ford. And the footnote, of course, is that she was thwarted by a gay former Marine, Oliver Sipple, there in San Francisco, who deflected the gun.
Yeah, I think she was made famous by her act, not by the Sondheim musical. You betray yourself, Andy.
No, I was trying to use a gay reference. This is the Gay USA show. Oh, shall we go to? You got any more? Shall we go to international news?
Let me hopscotch a few things here. There's a guy in Florida, a gay man who'd been the president of the Rainbow Democrats, who was just sentenced to 20 years in prison for transportation of child sex abuse materials. It's evidently the theme this week.
We tell you about the bad gays, too.
Yes, we do. Congratulations to Pete Buttigieg, who I think did the right thing by refusing to talk to Tucker Carlson about his sex life. The New York Fire Department has suspended and transferred 23 firefighters for making hazing videos of new recruits. They were physically abused and they were forced to hug naked men.
All you have to do is join the military now, because hazing is now unlimited.
Yeah. All right. And we want to also mention in Charlotte, North Carolina, the murder of a trans woman, Tiara Love Tori Jackson, shot dead at a motel. The suspect has been caught and arrested and charged. Now, international news.
Okay. The Supreme Court is going to allow Trump officials to freeze billions in foreign aid. Tens of thousands will die, though Marco Rubio, because no one's died from the cuts. Virtually all reproductive health care aid is cut.
In Karachi, Pakistan, three trans women were targeted, shot dead, dumped by the side of the road. Another trans woman stabbed to death. These were regarded as attempts to terrorize the trans community. There was a Transgender Rights Act that was passed in 2018, but the religious organizations have fought it and fought any recognition of it.
in Slovakia, which is part of the European Union. They nevertheless went forward and, you know, are copying Hungary and Russia, and they passed a whole grab bag of anti-LGBTQ constitutional amendment, defines sex as binary, bans adoption by gay couples, outlaws surrogacy. It goes on and on. This is from Prime Minister Robert Fico, whatever his name is. And it's a setback.
Well, and you're right. This is a European Union member country, and yet they have declared their laws as above the European Union laws.
So nice to see Moldova's elections pointing towards joining the European Union. And that's they're right on the Russian border, aren't they?
I have to look at a map.
I think.
In Poland, they have their own version of Dancing with the Stars. And a
also on the Russian border.
Yes, exactly. And vulnerable to drones, which are showing up. Let's hope they don't go after the lesbian couple who are performing on Dancing with the Stars there.
Yes, we got a picture of them. And
there they are. Pretty hot.
And the Olympian rower, Katar Zinya Zilman, there. Okay. AIDS news?
Yes.
Well, without explanation, the CDC under Trump has reverted from using the disease named Mpox to the obsolete monkeypox, which the world abandoned in 2022 because it was racist and stigmatizing. And their response when they were questioned about this, monkeypox is the name of the viral disease caused by the monkeypox virus. It's all racism.
Yes, stigmatizing. So the New York Times had a big piece this week about how the cuts to USAID are killing people all over Africa, although the Trump administration is denying it. And Trump are doing funding cuts to cut back on funding lenacapavir. I can't read my own writing. For $40 a year, you get shots twice a year and it prevents HIV. Well, that's not of interest to the Trump administration. So they have cut the funding for that. But NGOs are getting together to organize to fund it from outside the government. And that's a good thing. Unfortunately, it's Gilead that is in charge of that. But they are allowing six companies to make a generic version for 120 poorer countries. And the Gates Foundation, the Clinton Health Access Initiative, others are involved in trying to make up for the Trump administration's heinous behavior.
And The Nation magazine asks this question, and you all saw the heinous, Trump pushing Tylenol, saying, don't use Tylenol, don't use Tylenol. How long is it going to be before taking Tylenol while pregnant is a crime? The number of prosecutions of pregnant women in this country for all kinds of things. I mean, it is a war on women. And you have to think that at some point, women and people who love women, which should be all of us, are going to rise up against this.
Well, the attempts to make the administration irrelevant are heartening, but at the same time discouraging that it has to come to that. We have lost the values and norms of the government having a particular function to take care of the people. In fact, our government is now trying to kill the people. Right. All right. On that note, entertainment news.
Well, Rob Shooter reports that the NFL didn't just book Bad Bunny for the Super Bowl halftime show. They gave him a global stage for protest. And, of course, he's very famous for his pushbacks against racism and corruption and LGBT. And he's for LGBTQ rights and immigration issues.
Very bold of the NFL. You know, the PGA took away a golf tournament from Trump's club when he was first running for office. And now they have 10 years later given it back to him. Very discouraging. So we'll see whether the NFL gets away with having Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl.
Project Runway had its first trans woman winner.
BJ Floresca, Filipina. She was bullied by some of the other contestants. I watched the whole season. And she called them out. It was a little uncomfortable as it went back and forth. But her family was there at the finale, and she was, I think, a surprise winner. That's her on the left, of course, and one of the models with one of her dresses. So congratulations to Vijay.
Two quick reviews. I saw Art on Broadway. This is a play I saw, I don't know, 20-something years ago. This is with James Corden, Bobby Cannavale, and Neil Patrick Harris, who's out gay. They're three of my favorite actors. And, you know, there was plenty of laughter in the audience, but my concern is that the laughs come from the derision that many people have for modern art. And I just thought it was kind of a reactionary play and unpleasant.
I hear you. By the way, if you want to see Project Runway, even though I've given away the winner, it's the whole series for this year is on Hulu. And also back on Hulu is the second season of English Teacher, which is the gay guy school teacher. I thought season one was better. I've only watched the first couple of episodes of season two, but if you want to check it out, it's all on Hulu.
And I rarely heartily recommend a play, but I'm recommending Punch on Broadway. Sam Robards and Vicki Clark play the parents of a kid who was killed by the guy on the right there, played by Will Harrison. And the person in between is Camilla Cano Flavia, who is a sort of a counselor. He was killed with one punch, you know, while the kid was just out having a ball and hit a guy who we didn't even know. And it's all about restorative justice. And it's by James Graham, who's done some of my favorite political plays. I have not cried so much during a play, I don't think ever, because it's actually healing to watch this whole process of the parents of a kid who was killed by this guy and doing some kind of a reconciliation process. So I highly recommend it. Punch on Broadway.
Wow. And we're eagerly anticipating part two or the sequel of Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And it's been some years since the original. Terrence Stamp, who is one of the trio of trans and drag performers who wander through the outback of Australia, died, as you know, recently. But nonetheless, it turns out that he filmed his part to some extent. And what they're doing is with the CGI, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
They're putting his head from that filming onto a CGI body to perform in the film.
Stay on this picture, because that's Stephen Elliott, who's the director, who is with Terrence. We have another picture of what Terrence looks like, I think, or do we don't? Oh, we don't. That's okay. We don't.
Yeah. Okay. But they're very deliberate in saying it's not AI. It is taking his actual head and just using the created body to put it on. And I think it will look absolutely real. Now, not that picture. That's from the first film.
Elliot says it's not what people expect. It's about old age. It's very touching. And he wrote it working with Terrence over the last couple of years. And I wrote into the script of what it's like to get old and be either gay or trans. It's a subject that's never been explored, he says.
Well, maybe. But I'm sure it was difficult to figure out what the follow-up movie was going to be, because the first one was quite complete. And this sounds like it's a real step forward in figuring out the plot. One of our favorite guests here is poet and activist Stacey Ann Chin, who is in our opening sequence every week. And she made a film called A Mother Apart, a documentary about her search for her Jamaican mother, who basically left the family when Stacey Ann was very young. And it's a very interesting documentary. It's going to air on PBS on Monday, October 13th. We have the trailer here to show you.
Who was waiting for you to be born?
No one was waiting for me to be born.
Nobody?
Nobody.
You were waiting for me to be born.
Absolutely.
My mother left me.
Left me.
Long before I was born.
Long before I was born.
I'm a writer. I'm a poet. I would like to think I'm a truth speaker.
You skipped daughter.
My mother left me and came to Montreal.
I trekked all the way across the globe to go and find her after she left me.
She just kind of disappeared.
I'm finding pictures of my mother that I have never seen. It's possible that she won't show up at all.
My mother never comes back.
I don't want to do that to you. I definitely want to be a different kind of parent to you.
Every bit of my life is built around the reality of being her mom.
I can feel something pulling me towards forming a different relationship to the people that scared me. It's time to be done being afraid. It's time to model courage.
Because they're only gonna come back for you.
It's a long story. It's a very long story.
It's on PBS's Point of View, POV, on Monday, October 13th.
It's a very rich work. And as you can see, it's about her relationship to her mother and her relationship to her daughter in that context.
Well, I'll tell you what else is coming up. The New Fest in New York's LGBTQ Film Festival is October 9th to the 21st. 130 films. So even if you're from elsewhere outside of New York, they're going to be in person and streaming. And the opening night film is Blue Moon, Richard Linklater's direction of Ethan Hawke as the gay lyricist Lorenz Hart, and Andrew Scott as Richard Rogers on the opening night of Oklahoma. It takes place in Sardis. It looks funny, but also kind of touching.
I'm trying to remember who did the old movie about Rogers and Hart.
Okay.
I'll come up with it eventually. Well.
We're down to our last minute. By the way, there's going to be a play version of Dog Day Afternoon next year, starring the two guys from The Bear, John Bernthal as Sonny and Evan Moss Backrock as Sal. They're going to make a play out of it. The movie was in 1975 with Al Pacino about a hapless man robbing a bank in Brooklyn to get money for his partner's gender confirmation surgery.
Ahead of its time.
Yeah. Sidney Lumet.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be back. I promise I'll be here next week and for weeks to come. But thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Rob. You'll see them again here, too. And we'll be back next week. You'll be back, right, Andy?
I was going to say God willing, but I'm an atheist.
But speaking of that, we have a very interesting film to show you around Christmas time that has religious themes. But that's just a long-term tease. We'll be here next week. Thank you for watching.